Excuse me, please. I'm trying to get to the microphone. Could you please get out of the way? Excuse me, please. I'm sorry I stepped on your foot. Excuse me.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It gets exhausting.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's what I said.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm not kidding. How are you today? You're looking really, really nice today. Are those new pants? Very nice. Hey, are you doing your hair differently? Very impressive. Is that new makeup? I sense you switched makeup companies. That is very nice. Is that a new anti-wrinkle cream? Very attractive on you. What happened to that oozing sore on your face with the pus and everything? It seems to be gone. That's fantastic. You're looking great. Hey, you're walking better. That's fantastic. You seem like you're standing up straighter. You must feel better about yourself and your pathetic life. That's fantastic. You look so happy. You're beaming. It's like you're just, you're like a searchlight of hope, and it's great in the face of despair that you face every day. Really good. Nice. You see, you got to compliment people. You got to be nice to them. You got to make them feel good about themselves. I try to do that all the time. You're such a nice person. You're really such a great person, which shows the courage that you have because of your dismal, horrible, basement kind of life that you lead. So good for you. You see, that's a compliment. All you got to do is say something nice. Hey, God. Because it's the season to be merry. Or whatever your name is. Doesn't matter. The lovely lady that I live with. she's nuts is actually what she is. She's fantastic, but she's nuts. She bought a plant, and the plant on the bottom of the plant, it had like glitter on it, and the glitter got on the floor. I've got a thing about glitter. It's awful. It's probably as bad as anthrax. Glitter is horrible, man. One little speck of glitter, I think it multiplies. I think glitter actually divides like a amoeba. I think because one little speck of glitter can turn into like millions of glitters. Glitter's awful. It's worse than sequence. Glitter is horrible. Got a Christmas card from someone that I know. I know. What are the chances of that? And I opened up the card, and it's very, very nice. Happy holidays. The best to you and yours. I don't know what that means. And on the front of it, it had some glitter. The Happy Holidays was in glitter. And I opened it up, and as soon as I saw that Happy Holidays in glitter, I said to myself, oh my God, I've been infested. And sure enough, and even really like, I was so careful not to get the glitter anywhere, but it's all over the kitchen counter. And that's where I prepare my food. Now the glitter is going to get in my food. The glitter in the food will get into my intestines, and it will multiply there, and I will die of glitter infestation. Yeah, that's going to be my autopsy. They'll say, what do you think killed him, doctor? It's glitter. It's unbelievable. We opened them up, and there was a glitter all over the place. Damn holiday cards and holiday plants. Glitter's awful. It's just awful. It's just horrible. It actually moves. A piece of glitter on a kitchen counter, you will find it up your ass someday. Somehow glitter makes it up my ass. I don't know how that happens. No, that's not what happens. Don't you dare go there. I'm just making the point. It doesn't really happen. I exaggerated, but I'm just making the point that glitter gets everywhere. You'll see glitter like 30, 40 years later. It just doesn't, disintegrate. It you can't throw it away. It's like fruitcake. You can't throw it. It will go on forever. Even in a Holocaust, nuclear Holocaust, glitter will survive beyond the cockroaches. So I have a glitter infestation. I don't know who to call. I looked online because there's no more phone books. You know, they still hand out phone books. Why? Nobody, the only thing people use phone books for is to put on a chair if you're one of your little kids is like not tall enough to reach the tabletop or something. Nobody uses a phone book anymore. Well, that's not true. If you're over 50, you might still do it, but nobody does. Oddly enough, here's the odd part of this. How did I get onto phone books? Who did this? Who got me onto phone books? I was talking about glitter. Well, I was trying to find some expert in the phone book that I would call to remove the glitter from my house. They have everything else, but apparently there's nobody professionally that removes glitter from one's property because you can't do it. That's why you can't do it. Whatever happened to phone books, man? You used to look up somebody's number for free. Didn't cost a cent. I didn't even have to buy the phone book. Phone book sitting in my driveway or my front stoop or something. It's just appears magically. I don't ever see anybody deliver a phone book. It's just there. And you take the phone book and you open it up and it were the yellow pages and the white pages. I know these days that sounds racially motivated, but it wasn't. It's just a separation of things. And the white, you could look at anybody up. You take their name, you look it up, and it gives you their address and their phone number. How long does that take? How long does that take? We've lost the fine art of looking things up. Clicking is not looking things up. The brain has to do very little when you click. When you're researching and looking something up, you have to methodically do it. It's a great thing for the brain. That's why we're all so stupid. That's how Trump became president. We got all stupid about it. Now I go online, I Google, on the Google machine, I Google white pages or somebody's name. It doesn't give me their address. It doesn't give me their phone number. I have to go on Facebook for that, where I just don't get their phone number. I don't even get their phone number. I just get their address and where they live all of their lives and who all their children are and what their favorite animal is and where they worked, and if they own sex toys. It's just, it's everything. Shoe size, it's got everything in it. Anyway, so now I got this glitter problem. I miss the phone books. Ron, you're all over the place. You are literally all over the place. I know, I can't help it. Have you sought out some type of therapy? No, because those people are crazy. Did you ever go to a therapist? When I was very young, I stuttered. When I was like 10, 11 years old, I stuttered like a bastard. I just stuttered completely. Odd that I ended up in radio. That's like amazing to me. But I stuttered. So my parents sent me to a speech therapist in New York, on Irving Place in New York, Manhattan. And I was a big boy. I was 10, 11. I took the train all the way from New Jersey. That's where I was living at the time. Into this Washington place there. Irving Place was called Irving Place. And Dr. Snyder was my speech therapist. And he was a psychologist. And he sat in the big chair and I sat on a couch, just like in the movies. And he tried to figure out why I was stuttering. What psychological reason was there for me to stutter? And I realized that, see, Dr. Snyder just sat there. He didn't say anything, just asked me a lot of questions about myself. But one day he opened up about himself and said that he stuttered when he was a little child. And I realized, hey, wait a minute, you're not perfect either. You probably have psychological problems. When I leave, you probably have sex with your cat. I don't know. I don't know what your personal little private life is like. You probably have some perversions that aren't even recognized by the CDC. I don't know you. And here you are judging me, and my parents are paying for this. Maybe you, Dr. Snyder, should be sitting on the couch, and I should be sitting in the chair, or shitting in the chair, I was about to say by mistake. You see, the grass is always greener on the other side. I have no idea what that means. It means, I think, that your neighbor has better landscaping than you do. I think that's all that means. Things look better if they're not yours. You're envious of things. And then once you have them, you realize, what was I doing? Why did I even bother? Is that what that means? I don't think so. Anyway, we have a great guest coming up toward the end of the show. We're going to have a good time. You can take your clothes off now and just relax. You don't have to. I'm just saying, if you want to, that's fine. No one has to know.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry. No one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
You know any normal people? I always think that I do. And then I get to know them and I realize they're not normal. So what's normal? Is it normal to be abnormal? Oh, this is a deep show I've got going on today. I've realized nobody's really normal. The people that you think have these wonderful lives, two women, two men, a guy and a girl, whatever your combination may be. And they just seem to always be so happy. They're always fondling each other and smiling at each other and rubbing up against each other and doing public makeout sessions. And they both have wonderful jobs and they just love life. They're always about to go on vacation. Never seem to, always about to, always planning to do something. And loving their, oh, my sister is a wonderful person. We go out to lunch every other week and we eat food together and we talk. And I love my sister. I love my brother. We're so close. We're like, and I have my circle of friends. They're like sisters and brothers to me. Everybody's wonderful and fantastic. And I have this wonderful job where they respect me. Nobody gives me any trouble. I never have any traffic when I'm going anywhere. I always get the green light when I come to a traffic light. And the weather is beautiful. It can be snowing and a blizzard like a block away, but somehow where I live, it's just beautiful and sunny and everything's great. And I'm so blessed. Everything's blessing me. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. I'm just a blessing machine. I thank God every day. God thanks me. We have a great relationship. I go to church. I go home. I cook meals. I don't cook meals. I work hard. I have a great, I don't drink too much. I don't smoke too much. I don't talk too much. I don't do anything too much except for the sex. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful life that I have. Everything's perfect. My car never breaks down. I never run out of gas and I never have to fill up the tank. Everything is perfect. I've never been to a restaurant where I had a bad meal or where the food came out cold. Just never happened. I don't know why. I'm so lucky. When I go to the convenience store and I play the scratch tickets and the lottery tickets, I always win something. Maybe it's not $1 million, but I have won $5,000 before in the lottery, or I'll at least win my money back. It's wonderful. Everything's so great. I have no physical problems whatsoever, no high blood pressure, no cholesterol problems, no sugar problems. I'm just perfect. I'm not obese. I'm not too skinny. I'm just fine, and everybody around me is just fine. Nobody I know has any diseases whatsoever. I never heard of anybody dying before. I see it on television. I hear stories about it. I see it in movies. I know nobody that has ever died. My parents are like 300 years old, and they're very, very healthy, and everything is wonderful and so rosy. And as a matter of fact, when I have roses in my house, they just don't seem to die. I throw them away because they get tired of them. But other than that, they're always bright and sunny and rosy. I've never had to wash my windows at all. They're always squeaky clean and they're wonderful. Nobody craps on my lawn. I have three dogs. They don't crap. They don't crap. They don't pee. It's never in the house. It's never outside. I never have to bend down to pick up crap. I don't even have to walk the dogs. They walk themselves. It's wonderful. My life is perfect. Everything is great. I'm up for a promotion continually. I'm continually up for a promotion. And my spouse, oh, what a spouse, man. That spouse is the spouse of all spouses. If you looked in a dictionary under spouse, you'd see my spouse. I am so blessed. I am blessed like a walking bless machine. You know people like that? I don't either. But when I do, and I dig a little bit deeper into their lives, I find out they have crappy lives too. They just don't talk about them, or they don't make them obvious, or they hide them. You see, everybody's got problems. Just saying. Just trying to make you feel good. Probably didn't work. But there's nobody's perfect. The one person that is so imperfect is Donald Trump. For some reason, he was targeted to be the most imperfect person anybody could ever create. Somebody in a laboratory put Trump together as a joke, and it became unleashed pretty much like King Kong in the jungle, took him into civilization, and just he screwed everything up. Started grabbing airplanes. It's just horrible. The latest report that I heard, which is phenomenal to me, first of all, the carbon monoxide index since Trump has been president has risen 17%. The air is 17% more lethal now. And it's not just this country, but it's basically this country. And that's because we're back in coal production. Back in 2017, remember way back then? That's when Trump did this tax reform thing. And every economist, every expert said, don't do that, you're going to increase the deficit. The deficit has been increased by 17% since Trump took office because of his stupid tax cut thing. And it was said, I could play it for you. It was said to Trump in an interview, aren't you concerned about the deficit, this country's financial deficit, which has been increased since you've been in office? And Trump's response was, I kid you not, his response was, I won't have to deal with it. I won't be here.
What?
Are you kidding me? It's just, even to repeat the stuff he says is absurd. All right. I promised yesterday that I would not get back into a Trump thing, but I just, it's just a mess, just a mess. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us. That's going to be fascinating, to be honest with you. I don't know how fascinating it's going to be. I haven't done it yet, but it should be fascinating. That's pretty much the idea. Why can't people just smarten up?
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructose that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original barbecue or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's Preserve Piggy Parts.
Gwendolyn Javoy joins us now, and we've spoken to her before. She is the creator of some incredible children's books, and we were so impressed with the last time that she was with us. We said, well, if you ever release another one, please hook up with us, and she did. This is Lola Goes to School. This is in a series of books, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Lola Goes to School was the first book, yes. And yes.
Okay, and now let's talk about, this is the first in a series of books, right?
Yes, Lola was the first one, and today I'm releasing Chester Learns to Swim.
Chester Learns to Swim, okay. And this is based off the success of the first. This came rather quickly after the first, may I say.
Yeah, it came pretty much almost exactly a year later, but I spoke with you, I think, in the summer.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about this in the sense of it introduces to children the world, is what I'm saying. It brings up subject matter in a very accepted, comfortable manner, but things that they will encounter that others may say, well, this seems rather early to discuss, but it's never too early to bring up these certain situations.
Yeah, I agree with you. So the books, the main theme behind the books is really just celebrating individuality, yeah, and each person's uniqueness. Yeah. And that can come in so many different forms. And I think it's really important to let children know from as early as possible that the things that make them different and unique are really the things that, yeah, they should be embracing the most and feeling good about themselves, yeah, for it, because they're gifts, I think, that are given to each of us for a reason, and we're meant to be using them.
Yeah, as we discussed when your first book came out, it's important that this is the foundation time for one's life. And whatever you pick up when you're young is what follows you through everything. So it is so consequential. And going beyond just the usual pictures of an elephant or something, this actually has some meat to it, but in a very comfortable way.
Yeah, so I mean, I tackle these subjects using a group of hybrid animals. So yes, the first book was about a bunny rabbit elephant, yep, the elephant. And in this book, Chester Learns to Swim, mm-hmm, we have a dog duck, who I like to call a doc. And this book has its own main theme, which is overcoming fears, overcoming obstacles, but you still have that underlying tone of, you know, being proud of who you are and being proud of the things that make you unique.
Yeah. What are some of the obstacles that appear in this book?
So the main obstacle for Chester is that although he is half duck, he actually has a fear of swimming. Mm-hmm. And he finds out that the school is hosting their annual race, which this year is going to include a swimming component. Mm-hmm. So, of course, he's
nervous.
Very nervous. Yeah. He's got to figure out how he's going to learn to swim in time for the race. So his absurdimal friends and some of the characters actually who appear at the end of the first book, are they all come back, mm-hmm. and everybody tries to help him get in touch with his duck side. And so the fun part about that, too, is that they each give their own suggestions, and each of them kind of correlate to the character's personality. So you kind of see how those characters and those personalities are developing. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily work out, so he's kind of got to figure it out on his own. What's the secret? What's the key to overcoming this fear? And if you want to find out, you should definitely go check out the book. It's available today on my website and also on Amazon.
That's great. What is the target age group?
The target age group, I would say it's 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. I've had older children also enjoy the book, but in terms of actually having the child read the book, it's probably best for 3 to 5. Mm-hmm.
And how important is it in your mind that a parent be available to discuss or read with the child?
I mean, I think that's very important. I grew up with that, and I know that maybe parents today don't necessarily always have as much time to spend with their children. And so I think reading is really a great opportunity to kind of make the most of the time that they can spend with them, reading before bed. I think that's something that pretty much every mm-hmm. child really cherishes, those moments. And it's just a great way to bond and talk about these things in, you know, like you said, a subtle, comfortable way, and just kind of introduce these subjects early on.
It's also... It's a romantic art form, and I'll explain what I mean. These days, as you well know, everything is digital, and everything is done through a video or a DVD. And as engaging as that is, and stimulating as that is for a child, it does nothing for their imagination. And there are pictures in this book, of course, but your mind always goes beyond the pictures. And that lost art of having a parent there learning and actually learning to read accordingly, recognizing words and meanings, and that is so lost these days. And for authors to stick with this form of knowledge is really important.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You know, what I've heard, though, is when it comes to children's books and uh-huh. picture books in particular, the actual hard copy mm. is still very prevalent, yes. and is not necessarily being completely overrun by you know, tablets and uh-huh. and computers and things like that, which is really, really nice to hear. And I think that has a lot to do with just kind of the whole tactile connection to feeling the book, feeling the pages, and that actually helps the child learn as well.
Yeah, but I always say that DVDs are babysitters and books are visitors, where, you know, that's a shared experience.
And right.
It's just a different feel. The great thing is, this is the second book in the series, so if you don't have the first book, pick that up in companionship as well, and then your child will have a whole nother place to go when the first book is finished, which is kind of fun. I assume, because I assume a lot, which you know what happens when I do that there's probably a third one coming along.
There definitely will be a third one, and there are going to be some other things in the works mm-hmm. in the next year. Can't talk too much about yeah. them, but suffice it to say, the Absurdimals will be popping up in various places, so all I'm really right. excited about that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Once again, the books and how we get them.
So the books are available on my website. If you go to my website, I can actually send you a signed, personalized copy,
cool.
so that's pretty cool. The website is www.absurdimalsseries.com. And you can also buy the book on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to be doing a giveaway on Instagram. 4 books are going to be given away. So you've got to submit on Instagram. So just follow me at Absurdimals and join in and see if maybe you win one of the books.
Cool. I'll spell Absurdimals for those that don't know how to spell Absurdimals, because it's cause not necessarily a word in a dictionary just yet. It's A-B-S-U-R-D, absurd, I-M-A-L-S, a combination of absurd and animals, Absurdimals, and you'll be finding a whole series there when you Google that. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, and I look forward to doing that again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Gwendolyn. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, you can kind of make near-perfect people by raising your children properly. Always keeping that in mind, always making that the first important thing in your life, because your child's childhood with their parents is the most influential thing that will ever happen in their lives whatsoever. It will mold them and shape them through their entire journey. Very important. And children's books just give me a warm feeling. They do that. They coddle, they teach, they learn, and it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Gwendolyn, for what you do, and thank you for what you do, which is listen to this show. I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. Until then, I really do wish you peace. I really do. I'm not kidding you. You know, I do the grumpy thing, but I'm really full of love inside. I mean it. No, I'm serious. I am.